Welcome to Caffeine, Crime and Canines, a podcast brought to you by two girls who love their dogs, love coffee, but most importantly, love true crime.
Hello.
Hi, Lockie.
How are you going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Happy Daylight Savings Day.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about this.
I love it. It's like my favorite day of the year.
Why are you crazy?
I just love it. I love winter. Like, I am such a winter person.
And love
like,
coming
the
home in
dark,
the dark.
At 6 o'clock.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, I don't come home at 6 o'clock anymore. Maybe that's the difference. But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just love it. Love it.
I freaking hate it. I've been like stomping around all morning angry.
You got an extra hour today.
Yeah, I know, but it's one day. Everyone's like, oh, you get an extra hour here for one freaking day. And it happens during the night. You don't even realize, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm a bit salty that it's going to get dark at night now because I love, like, training or going for a walk at night. Now you can't do that. Like, it's just, yeah. It's done.
But it does get a bit lighter in the mornings now, though, doesn't it?
But I think it will only last for, like, another month or so, and then we're just, like, gloom 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, what else with you?
Not much really. Just trying to prepare for next week.
Me, I feel very unprepared, but I'm very excited.
Me too. I'm very unprepared, but also very excited. I feel like I don't even know what to like, cause you, like you've got all the info, like I don't even know what time my flights are. Like I'm just, you know, just going to rock up.
Oh, funny. I know. I made a list yesterday, actually, because I just, usually I'm a little bit more organized. Well, I've at least got the suitcase and passport out. I still have not even done that. So I think I'll be doing that this afternoon. I need to get my nails done. Like, just a whole bunch of random stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm the same.
But, yeah, and I was in all week this week, and it has thrown me. I don't know how I used to do it full time. Like it has thrown me like you would not believe. And it's just the little things. Like usually I could, do you know what I mean, go for a walk on my break or exactly like start packing or whatever. And yeah, I've done nothing. Zilch.
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
Crazy. I don't really have much news really.
I don't either. I'm a little bit boring, out of the funk this week.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about next week. So
yes, we definitely will. If anyone has any like recommendations or anything for us to do while we're in Auckland, because we've got that day free that we're going to go do some stuff. So
yes,
yeah, maybe I'll have to drag you to like an earthquake museum or something. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but anyway, if any of the listeners have challenges or anything that you want us to do while we're together. Definitely slide into our DMs.
Yeah, because we don't really ever spend like we go for have lunch, have coffee or whatever, but we're together for like 4 days straight. So we have lots of opportunities to do anything related to the podcast this weekend.
I was going to say we will probably drive each other crazy, although I don't think you'll drive me crazy. I know I'll drive you crazy because I don't
know. God. Like. No, I don't think so. What else? I really don't have much. Actually, I did want to share something that I saw on TikTok with you. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but you know how Gypsy Rose Blanchard and her husband are separating or separated, whatever?
Yeah.
She actually was seen this week holding hands with her ex.
What ex?
She has an ex. I don't know who it is I don't know anything about it, but I saw it on TikTok.
Okay. So, it must be from when she was in jail.
Maybe.
Because she how else would she have an ex? She was just with that other guy that, do you know what I mean? That killed her mum.
Yeah, not him because he's in jail. Must be someone else, yeah.
Oh,
God. You know, she just needs to spread her wings, you know? She just needs to explore herself.
Well, can I tell you something? The fact that she's got multiple exes and she was in jail and I've got friends that can't even find one man, like I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, God.
But, yeah.
Crazy. But yeah, no real news really. Maybe we should just get into the case.
Yes, I totally think we should.
Okay.
Hello? It's a voicemail unlike anything you've ever heard before. There are 2 minutes worth of noises, bizarre ones, but very little actual talking. Authorities confirmed the disturbing middle-of-the-night call came from Henry McCabe's cell phone. It was Labor Day, September 7th at 2:28 in the morning. McCabe's worried wife heard the message.
His and my cell phone connected.
Minnesota Community Policing Services is a nonprofit agency. It acts as a go-between with police and the Liberian community. The leader is trying to help the family make some sense of this recording.
The growls turned to high-pitched moans. So,
like he's moaning in pain.
Like moaning in pain.
The tortured grunts suddenly stop. There is silence. Then someone, either Henry or another person, says, "Stop it."
I try to picture where he was, what it might have been like, what circumstances would have made him sound like that.
The voicemail is in stark contrast to other articulate recordings of McCabe speaking at an event. He's a state auditor.
What is the justification? What is the right thing to do?
The message is one piece of evidence Moundsview police are reviewing. The police chief tells me even the FBI is analyzing the recording and voices for clues. The chief says the investigation took deputies here on Tuesday to Rice Creek Park, which borders New Brighton, Moundsview, and Fridley, all areas where McCabe was reported seen or a cell phone ping placed him. Ramsey County Water Patrol searched but came up empty.
All right, so this week we are talking about the case of Henry McCabe, and this one has definitely been on my list to do for a long, long time because it has that audio that is really shocking and crazy, which we'll obviously talk about later in the podcast, but things like that, I just can never shake it, or it just gives me this really eerie, creepy feeling, so I have really wanted to do this for a while. I wasn't sure if you actually had heard about it before, Karina, because I know True Crime Garage had covered it, but I wasn't sure how much you knew.
I know that I've listened to it, yeah, through, like, because of the True Crime Garage episode. Other than that, I knew nothing of it until, obviously, this week. So,
yeah, okay.
And I can't even remember when, like, I can see that I listened to it, but I cannot even remember, you know what I mean, like, looking into it after I listened to that one episode, because obviously it was from a few years back. So, but yeah, very crazy case, Lucky, this week.
So Henry McCabe was born September the 16th, 1984, and he was an immigrant to the United States after fleeing Liberia to escape the Civil War. At the time of this case, which was in 2015, Henry was 32 years old and he was living in Moundsview, Minnesota with his wife of 11 years, Corrine, and they had two young daughters. Henry worked for the State Revenue Office as an auditor and he was heavily involved in the Liberian American community. By all accounts, he was a friendly and caring person and he had real ambition to succeed. You know, he's given this opportunity to live in America and he really wanted to succeed in all aspects of his life. At the time of his disappearance, Henry and his wife were planning a move to California. And I'm just going to say it now, there's a lot of conflicting articles and reports and statements in this case. And this is one of those points where I can't confirm what is true or not. So whether they were planning to move to California, I read an article that she had already moved there. Like she was living there and he was going to move across at a later time. I'm not sure what the goal was.
Just sussing it out, scoping it out or something.
Yeah, yeah. But then she was actually from California as well, so her family must have been there. But at the time of his disappearance, her and the two daughters were in California. They weren't in Minnesota. So on Labor Day weekend, like I said, while his wife was in California organizing their move, Henry went out to a club, and I've got this in air quotes, with two friends. These friends were Calvin Johnson and William Kennedy. He had a nickname, Pappas. Mm. I said club in air quotes because I think it was like a sports bar. I don't think it was like a club. Yeah. Like when I think of a club, I think dark. Well, so I think this was more a bit like a sports bar because they were there at like 9 p.m.
Yeah, like casuals, yeah.
Yeah, so there are a lot of conflicting reports in this case about the friendship or the relationship between these two guys, specifically Henry and this William Kennedy or Pappas. Like, I saw reports that they were friends, saw reports that they were like had met through like this Liberian community that they're a part of. He said that they were just acquaintances. Like, there's so many weird things with their friendship. What did you know about their friendship?
Yeah, honestly, I've seen the exact same thing. I've seen some people refer to them as friends, and I've seen others say they were just acquaintances. So I feel like it's a lot, like with this case, there is just no solid story, if that makes sense. There's just all different conflicting information from all over. So it's really hard to narrow down what was going on, you know?
So the three headed to POV Club. I think it was called like Pavelski's or, I don't know, some surname, but POV is what it was called. And they drank and they partied. And I think they arrived there at like 9 p.m. that night. It's reported that Henry was pretty intoxicated, but he was still being served by the bar staff. So his friends, Calvin and William, took his keys so he couldn't obviously drive himself home. And they also took his wallet so he couldn't buy any more drinks. So he must have been pretty drunk.
And yeah, I mean, so that's a good thing for your friends to do. Like, I definitely am on board with this, but something I don't get is I don't think he drove to the club, Lockie. From what I saw, he actually got a lift there, which makes me think, why the heck did they take his keys?
Keys, yeah. Yeah.
Unless it was so he wouldn't lose them.
Mm. Yeah, possibly. Yeah, so he had no keys, no wallet. They're obviously looking out for him. It's weird that he was still being served, but they thought he was, like, super intoxicated. And there's really no real concrete evidence or support of whether he was doing anything more than drinking, whether he was on drugs or anything like that. We're not sure. So at around 2 a.m., William Kennedy drove Henry home. So William was obviously the one driving or had the car or whatever. I'm not sure if he was like driving under the influence or not. Not sure. But William drove Henry home. During this trip, William reports that Henry insisted on being dropped at the Super America gas station rather than his house. So William does drop him at this gas station. This gas station was an approximate 2 mile walk from his house in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. So this is where it gets a bit funky because, like, a lot of people are like, if he was so drunk, why wouldn't you drop him at home? Why would you just drop him at the gas station? But, like, if you were a super, super drunk and someone is like, drop me at the gas station, you can't really argue with them. You know what I mean?
There's two things that I think about just regarding this whole scenario. One of the things I saw online was that Henry did not want to give William his address, which is odd. And that's why he asked to be dropped off at the service station or whatever, right? So that makes me think they're obviously not good friends if he doesn't have his friend's address. Like, that's just weird. And another thing I think is that I think that William potentially may have been driving. And there's a few things that make me think he was drink driving, but then that probably makes sense why he was just like, all right, like, I'll let you off here sort of thing. Like, he wasn't in his right frame of mind, because earlier in the night, the fact that they took his wallet and his keys off him, wouldn't they want to make sure he got home safe? That's something that just does not connect for me. Like, give me your phone. Sorry, not your phone. Give me your keys and wallet, but I'll drop you off at a service station. Like, how the heck's he meant to get home then? You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make sense. But if he was drinking,
he was dropped off with nothing.
Yes, but that's what I mean. Like, how random. Like, that's not being a good friend, leaving your friend stranded in the middle of nowhere at a service station.
No, it's the opposite. Yeah, it's like, it's really weird that he would drop him off, especially without his house keys. And I think, like, one friend had the wallet and William had the keys. So why would you not? Like, fair enough if, say, you forgot to give him back his wallet, but at least give him his freaking house keys.
But that's what makes me think maybe William was also, by that stage of the night, was quite drunk and he just wasn't thinking right and he was drink driving.
Yeah. So at 2:28 a.m., Henry's wife, Corrine, receives a voicemail, and this was confirmed to come from Henry's phone. And this voicemail is, like, super creepy. It's almost unexplainable, I'd say. It's, I don't know, there's just, I just get such an eerie feeling when I listen to it. And I'm just going to pop it in the episode now. When, obviously, you would have listened to the voicemail this week, Karina.
Yes, I did. And I had only heard, like, little snippets of it, probably the generic snippet that most people have heard. It wasn't until you sent me that link yesterday that I heard the full 2 minutes worth.
Yeah.
And it has, I mean, it's not changed my mind a lot, but it has sort of helped with my thoughts, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and we should actually shout out that guy because honestly, how he got this full 2 minute audio is amazing because so many other podcasters and creators have been like covered this and they haven't been able to get it.
No. So I will link this guy. So the guy that's got the, it seems to be the biggest snippet of the voicemail. It's called The Missing Enigma and he's like a YouTube channel. I think it's also a podcast. So I'll link it when I obviously post the episode so you can listen to the whole YouTube. But yeah, because like you listen to the podcast and things and like, oh, you know, it's not available online anymore. But yeah, he's obviously
this
got
this guy's got it.
Yeah. Yeah. So some sources have described that they hear gunshots in this voicemail. And I've also seen a report that Corrine stated at one point during the voicemail that Henry said he was shot. I don't hear this.
I saw that.
Do you?
No, do not hear it at all.
Weird. A few Redditors have cleaned the audio up as best they can because it's pretty difficult. And they have heard statements or things in the voicemail from the cleaned up audio like, some people have said they have heard like a chainsaw or like something mechanical. Some people have said they heard Henry say, "I'll command the fire of God if you touch me." Some other people have said they have heard Henry say, "I'm not going where no one can see me." And then another person respond, "We have to." And then another interesting point that I saw on Reddit was that someone said that maybe the whole voicemail is Henry violently throwing up.
Mm.
But you think Corrine would know that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think that listening to the podcast, that he's throwing up. I don't know. I just don't get that sort of feeling. I do. Honestly, when I first heard it this week, it actually gave me goosebumps. Like, it was really scary. Like, it just scared me. And I do want to tell you something, but I'll wait till the end because I don't know. I just cannot believe the timing of this. But yeah, I'll wait till the end because I've got a little note not to forget to tell you about what I sort of was thinking when I first heard it.
So at the end of the voicemail, apparently you can hear Henry or someone else say, I think it is a male voice, say, stop it. And I didn't hear that in the version of the call that I posted in the episode. However, I can't guarantee that that's the full voicemail. Like, we don't know what's been snipped, what's been released, etc.
Yeah, I didn't hear it either at all.
No. So the following morning, Henry did not show up for work, and with the no-show to work and the voicemails, both Corinne and Henry's brother file a missing persons report. Can I just say, I thought it was really odd that he went out, got this drunk the night before work. I don't know if that's just me being an old lady, but it's like...
But what's... Oh my goodness, I did not even think of that. That is so crazy.
So I just find that odd. I don't know if it was like a normal thing for him to do or.
But he was having a bit of a hard time, wasn't he?
Yes.
Like at work, you know, like in his home life. So maybe he didn't realize like how drunk he was actually going to get. And if he went out at 9:30 to a sports bar, maybe he just wasn't expecting his night to turn into, do you know what I mean, like a crazy drunk mess.
So police took the case pretty seriously from the beginning due to the nature of the voicemails. I've seen a lot of reports of Corinne's initial impressions and her initial statements to police changing, and she was also reportedly fairly adamant and has not moved on this opinion that it was a pocket dial, not that he deliberately called her to leave these sounds. One thing Corinne said to police was that she initially thought that he may have been cheating on her and had run off, and that's why he was like a no-show, like he literally was running off to start a new life. So in the following days and weeks following his disappearance, police were monitoring Henry's accounts and his phone activity to see if he did in fact run off to start a new life. Because like you mentioned earlier, Corinne, there were reports of money troubles in his life, like he'd like missed the last rent payment or something, and that he was having performance issues in his job. And obviously with the move, like that would be stressful. So in these weeks following his disappearance, his bank account was never touched and his phone was always off. So the theory of him running off to start a new life was quickly ruled out. The investigation continued and police were interviewing these friends that Henry went out with that night, and that again was Calvin Johnson and William Pappas Kennedy. It was quickly learned that Henry was not actually dropped off at the Super America gas station, as William had initially stated. He actually dropped him off at the Holiday gas station, which was about 7 miles south of where he said he dropped him off. And mind you, the gas station that he actually got dropped off at, Holiday gas station, is further away from Henry's house. The Super America gas station is close to his house. So it's unknown why William stated the wrong thing or lied or got confused, but there was CCTV footage from the Holiday gas station that proved that William was dropping off Henry at this place. It was also revealed that Calvin Johnson still had possession of Henry's wallet and William still had his keys, like we mentioned earlier. So he was dropped off at the gas station with none of his things. Search and rescue teams were also scouring the areas near where his cell phone had pinged that night, but they never found any trace of Henry. The FBI had also become involved and were analysing the voicemail, but this didn't really go much further than what people had already thought. They couldn't really extract much from the audio either. A few months later, a kayaker on Rush Lake found a body, which was about 6 miles from where Henry was dropped off by William at the Holiday gas station. due to how far into the decomposition process the body was, it took days for it to be identified. But days later, it was identified to be Henry McCabe. And I actually heard that the body was so decomposed, like they couldn't even like get whether it was a male or a female, the race, like none of that. Like it was so decomposed. It was, you know, obviously they struggled to identify it. The autopsy completed on the body revealed that the cause of death was drowning. But the medical examiner could not rule like the matter of this death. And obviously with drowning can be murder. Drowning can be an accident. Drowning can be suicide. Like drowning can fall under every kind of category. And the medical examiner couldn't actually rule what this matter of death was. And it's also worth noting as well that even though like some people heard gunshots in the voicemail, there was no gunshot wounds on Henry's body whatsoever. There was no marks on his body at all. No sign of violence, nothing. His body was completely clean. So there is obviously a lot of theories on what has happened to Henry because of the voicemail and the matter surrounding his death. One of the main theories is obviously murder, but there is a lot of not only like pretty standard theories, but there's also a few like conspiracy theories among these, and I'm just going to go through a few of them. So one of them was that Henry was murdered by Black Lives Matter protesters. Another was that he was murdered by his friends that went out with him that night, Calvin and William, because apparently in the voicemail you can hear Henry say Pappas, which is obviously William Kennedy's nickname. I didn't hear that. Did you, Karina?
No, I didn't hear it either.
No. Another is that he was killed by the US government because obviously he was a government employee. I don't know why they would kill him, but that's a theory. Another is that he was killed as part of a Liberian ritual, which I think is just absolute bullshit. Like just because he was Liberian, what is that? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
Lockie, I don't know if you saw that thing that his father was like a Liberian politician and that he was murdered, like he was poisoned. Did you see this theory?
No, I didn't.
Oh my, and apparently him and his brother had to leave Liberia because of it.
Uh-huh.
How, it's just crazy. And then someone was saying that like he always wanted to go back there and he did want to get into politics there, but he couldn't go back there till like the president or whoever was running, you know, Liberia had died. So that's just a really, I don't know, that's just like a creepy fact. I thought that was really creepy. And the fact that the FBI was involved, like the FBI don't get involved in like missing persons, not something like this anyway. So I do find it a little bit odd that of their presence in this case.
Yeah, that is true.
So yeah.
So another theory is that Corrine hired someone to kill her husband after suspecting that he was cheating on her. Apparently the wife had a habit of asking police to remove the battery from their phones when they talked in private with her. And one really interesting point is that Henry, when his body was found, they actually found his phone in one of his pockets and the battery in the other.
I did not see this. So, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I think it's so the phone couldn't be traced, but I just think it's interesting that she would ask the battery to be removed and then he was obviously found with the battery removed in his phone. And also, like, apparently Corrine left Minnesota a week after receiving the insurance settlement and has never requested any further information from the police about the case and doesn't accept calls about the case. So I think that's a bit suspicious. Like, you'd think she'd be advocating for more information surrounding his death, but.
Unless she's scared, Lockie. Because if she knows something and she's scared and she just wants, like, her kids have been threatened, that's exactly what you're going to do. You're not going to talk to anyone about it. Makes me think she's been threatened. Yeah, that's true. Sorry, can I just say something else? again, I'm pretty sure it was from that YouTube clip, right, or that YouTube coverage. The guy talks about how his phone, I don't know if you saw this, had called like the same number like 20-something times the day of his disappearance, right? And it kept calling this one number for 3 days after he disappeared, and they could never find whose number this was. Like, they didn't know who this – and how the heck, if he disappeared, is his phone still – like, let's just say whatever happened to him that night, how is his phone still calling this random person? And who is this random person that it's calling? It's really suspicious. This is what makes me suspicious and makes me point to that there's something else going on here. Originally, we'll get into it, I was sort of leaning towards accidental. But after all this phone – and there's no way – to even confirm all this phone, sort of like these phone pings and these phone calls. It's just, I've pretty much just seen it on that one YouTuber's coverage, and it seems like he's done an amazing job and he's got like police reports and stuff like that. So I do tend to believe that this guy is legit and his phone was ringing this random number for 3 days after his disappearance. But what the fudge? And sorry, one other thing. If it was ringing this random number and then it ended up in his pocket, obviously he wasn't in the water the evening he disappeared.
True, yeah.
It's because how the heck's the phone going to get back in his pocket? Doesn't make sense. There's something weird going on. This whole thing there is something like really sus.
Yeah, very. Another theory is that he was murdered by the police and they've covered it up, like a similar situation to like George Floyd or whatever. Like, maybe he was arrested for being drunk disorderly, they killed him and they've covered it up, because obviously he is African-American and there's that whole conversation. Another theory is that it was suicide, that he obviously was quite stressed in his life and he killed himself. Not really sure how I feel about that. And then the other is that it was completely accidental, that Henry had either taken drugs that night or he was extremely drunk and he lost his way home and he wandered around the lake and fell in and drowned. I guess to go with this accidental theory, I actually just found a post on Reddit and this guy kind of talks about like this whole kind of accidental slash maybe suicide theory, and I'm just going to read it out because I think it's really well thought out. So this guy says, the poor guy at the very least had a drinking problem and was very drunk that night and having some personal problems. He had just gotten a bad review at work, had just passed at least one bad check to his landlord, and his wife was living in California with their kids. I think he was just super depressed and stressed by all the stuff going on. He called his wife to vent, but being in that state, he was just at the end of his emotional rope. I think he was crying, and you know how things can just make you break down emotionally and sob and wail. I think he either accidentally fell in the water and drowned or decided to kill himself. He just wasn't in a good place mentally, and the drinking didn't help. The stop it was him telling himself to stop it, to pull his shit together. I can only speak for myself, but I can tell when I'm on the precipice of unwanted emotional breakdown, and I will sometimes just try and be super firm with myself and try to regain some control. Doesn't always work and probably less effective under the influence. So that theory more is like he went out, he got really drunk, and it just brought out this like emotional breakdown in him. And that call was him crying and wailing and sobbing to his wife, and then whatever happened.
See, but then how that if that YouTube channel is right, how did his phone keep calling this weird number? And whose number was this? And why was it called 20-something times the day he disappeared? Doesn't make sense. Yeah.
So I guess this is a good segue into our theories. So, Karina, do you want to run us through what you think happened?
Now can I tell you, I'm not, again, fully committed to one theory, but when I first this is what I wanted to tell you earlier, right, which I just find so freaking random, is that I was on TikTok last weekend and this random guy, like random as they come, came up, and what he was doing was he was talking about how we used to work the club scenes in Melbourne. I know this is really random, but it's going somewhere, right? Anyway, so he's taking you through King Street and he's saying like all this weird shit about clubs. And you know what? It got me because he was talking about like, you know, like after 1 a.m. or whatever. And I see these streets during the day. I don't really know what they're like at night. So I was just like intrigued. So I kept watching. Anyway, one of the things that got me, and this is before we start, like I started looking into this case, is he was talking about one day he was walking, whatever, he had finished work and he was walking the streets like late at night, and he goes, I heard these weird noises and it sounded like someone was possessed, like it was like some sort of animal, some sort of like someone was possessed, right? And then he went to, it was a guy, and he went to help him, and apparently the guy was having a GHB overdose.
Yeah.
And the sounds, all he was doing in this clip was he was talking about the sounds were like something you've never heard before. And when I watched it, I was like, I wonder what the heck he means. And then when I heard this voicemail Henry left, I'm not kidding you, the first thing I thought was, that's what that TikTok guy was talking about. Like, these noises he described sounds exactly like what Henry's voicemail sounds like. I don't know why, I just put the two and two together in like an instant when I started hearing this voicemail. So in my head, I do think that maybe he was having some sort of reaction, whether he was like roofied or like, do you know what I mean? Like his drinks being spiked or something at the club. That makes sense to me. And at the same time, that makes sense. I do think it's foul play. Whether he's, you know, his friends sort of kicked him out at this, I don't know, this, what's it called, petrol station, because he's just like, he's behaving crazy and he felt bad. He didn't want to say anything, right? So he's left him there. And then he's either he's met with foul play. Like something has happened to him. I do not think that this has happened to him alone. I don't know how he would have got to the lake. I don't know who he was calling. Did he know? Like, as I said to you earlier, there is discussions about how his dad was poisoned and how he had to go to America because of this. Like, there's just something weird going on. Then the FBI are involved. Like, the wife doesn't want to talk about it. I feel like the wife knows something happened to him. Who knows? Apparently she was on a call 2 minutes before. So you know that voicemail, I don't know if you saw how people think, and again, it's not confirmed, but people think that he called his wife. They chatted for 2 minutes. Then his wife started to get like really like obviously worried about what he was saying or the noises he was making. So she's trying to call in one of their friends or his brother or something, right? And that brother or friend didn't pick up, and that call then went to voicemail, and that's what we heard earlier. That's how that's all come together. So what was he telling his wife for the 2 minutes before she called in somebody else into the conversation? You know what I mean? There's just something else going on there. I think she knows something, and that's why she's just completely cut everyone off. She doesn't want to talk about the case. She originally said, it's a butt dial, I didn't speak to him, or I went straight back to sleep. Like, there's something going on, and I think she's scared. I think she knows something and she's freaking scared.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
And maybe, and not only that, but let's just say it was a hit. I'm not saying she put the hit on him, but let's just say there was some sort of hit on him, right? And they're like, all right, he's living alone. He's going home by himself. We'll spike his drink. So then when he gets back home, it's easier to do whatever we need to him. Like, obviously, he's not going to be able to fight back, right? But then they follow the car, obviously, when he's on his way home. And they realize he didn't go home. He ended up getting dropped off at this gas station. He's wandering the streets. How much easier would it be to freaking put someone in the car to do whatever you wanted to them than to break into their house? Because if you break into the house, it's going to look like foul play. But if you just pick them up off the streets, like we're talking about now, who freaking knows what happened?
What do you think about the friends?
I mean, I don't know if the friends know more than what they're letting on. I'm open to that, but I definitely think the wife knows more. Apparently the friend that dropped him off at the gas station, his wife has confirmed that he went straight home after he dropped. So he's sort of got an alibi, right? And I'm sure the police would have looked into both the friends because they were both with him that night. I just, I don't know. I think something's happened. I just don't know what. I don't think it was accidental.
Yeah.
And I think he was calling for help.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, like, similar to you, that I think he was drugged at the place. like someone spiked his drink, or whatever, and it was to kill him for some reason. Because I don't think, like, if it was just a random person in the bar, like spiking his drink, why would you spike a man's drink?
I know.
And like, he was like a pretty tall guy. Like, yes. I don't know why you would do that. So I think that it was done for a purpose. And I think that the friends either know that it was going to happen or are linked, because I don't understand why any normal person would drop their friend off without their house keys.
Yeah. Or take their wallet and keys and then leave them stranded. Sus. So very sus.
Yeah.
But I'd love to know our listener theories. So honestly, let us know what you think.
Yeah, it's very crazy, this one.
What do you think, Lockie? You think the same?
Same, yeah. I didn't think we'd agree on this one, but yeah, I think we've pretty much got the same theory. So
interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the case of Henry McCabe. If you have a case you want us to cover, you can send us a message on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is @caffeinecrimeandcanines, or you can head to our website and leave a request in the request box. If you want to support the podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review, head to our website to purchase some merchandise, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/caffeinecrimeandcanines.
And until next week.
Until next week.
Bye.